Mike, would you come up here and read? We've been reading a chapter of Revelations every week, I guess for 14 weeks now, and we claim the promise that those who read and follow the words of this prophecy will be, say it, blessed. I am blessed.
Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters and like the voice of a loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang as if it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault from the throne of God. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and to worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water." And another angel followed, saying, "Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of her wrath, of her fornication." Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength in the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name." Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." "Yes," says the Spirit, "that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, "Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." So he who sat on the cloud thrust his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out of the temple, which is in the heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire, and he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe." So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs.
Thank you for that powerful reading. I don't think Jesus was going, "Well, the wrath of God is being poured out." And no, I'd say it's come with passion, didn't it? Mark 4, if you want to follow. I got a lot of scripture. Lord God, we thank you for your word. Yes, Lord. We thank you for the blessings on your word. We thank you for your blessings on us when we read it, receive it, and follow it, God, in Jesus' name. Strengthen us. Yes. Strengthen us, Lord. Sometimes we look at ourselves, at least I do, and go, "Man, you are so weak." But I always remember that your word says, "When I am weak, then you are strong. Your strength is made perfect in my weakness." So be made perfect today, Lord. Glorify your name. Lord, let us grow in the Lord Jesus. Let us get ready for that great day of your return. We love you, Jesus. We love you. We adore you. We're thankful for what you've done in our life. Amen. But Lord, we're thankful for what you're about to do. The best is yet to come. Yes. Listen, the best is yet to come.
Right.
And I don't want to be one of them when I'm, you know, whatever age and go, oh man, back in the good old days. And we do that sometimes. The good old days are ahead. Because right now you're looking at people, you're looking at family, you're looking at children, you're looking at grandchildren that aren't going the way of the Lord sometimes. And it makes you think, what good is this? When I first come to the Lord, I didn't. The good thing is you got glory. You got eternal life. You got somebody that goes, no, I don't want to come back. I love you, but I don't want to come back. Did you ever hear the story of Smith Wigglesworth? His wife died, and he prayed for her, and he picked her up and raised her from the dead. He didn't raise her from the dead, but the Lord raised her from the dead. She said, Smith, let me go. I don't want to be here. Let me go back, and don't you dare pray for me to come back again. And, okay, dear. Kissed her, and you can say, well, that just sounds like some crazy stuff. I believe it. Don't you believe God does things like that? Don't you believe God still works miracles? Do you? We need to start acting like it. And when you read Revelations, a lot of people go, oh, man, it's just scary stuff. And he just had some kind of, he had bad pizza before he went to bed or something. No, that was the word of the Lord. That was Jesus saying, write this in the book. Praise God, we can read the end.
Yep.
We can read the end of the book. Isn't that awesome?
Yep.
Isn't that awesome? He's in. You know, he even tells us what things will be like on the planet right before he returns, right? We getting close?
Oh, yeah.
Well, this isn't about that, but that's exciting stuff. Mark 4:10, when he, Jesus, was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And it was the parable of the soils. Stony ground, weeds. Help me, Jesus. Lord, there was good soil. Help me. The birds, yes, the birds came in. I usually know that one by heart. Anyway, he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Say, to me, as a born-again believer,
it has been given to me
to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. So it's been given to you to know supernatural things. Is that correct?
Yes. Amen.
Because it says a mystery. But to those who are outside, those that make fun of the word of God, those who don't believe the precepts of God, those that believe it's just a book written by many men that really doesn't matter, no more than the Quran or other holy books. There's a lot of people that believe that. It's just a fable. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables. And I looked up that word in Greek, to know, to learn, to come to know, to get knowledge of, to feel, to understand, to perceive, to have knowledge of, relations between a man and a woman, to know, to be acquainted with. So he has made it where we are to be acquainted with. When a man and a woman have relations, what happens? What happens after that happens, you know, sometimes?
Babies.
So when we know the mysteries of God, I believe that babies will come forth. And I'm talking about baby believers. I believe that God has so much more. So he wants us to, he said, you know the mystery of the kingdom if you seek after it, right? So what's a mystery? Some of y'all probably read those mystery books. I never cared for them because I got to pick on you, Kristen, because Kristen's one of them that can read a novel. I think they're called novels, like they're this thick. And they got 400 characters in them, and you're going, who's this? I done forgot who this was. I got to watch the movie, but she can keep track of all that stuff. So praise the Lord. That's a good thing. You got a good mind. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who's him?
God.
Jesus, God. For he who comes to God must
believe.
Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder, which means one who pays wages. A rewarder of those who diligently, say diligently.
Diligently.
What's diligently seek him mean?
Constantly.
Means seek out, investigate, seek out for oneself, to beg, to crave, to demand back, to require. It means more than just, oh, I believe. It means you seek after what he's promised you and go after it until you see it.
Yep.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Amen? Sometimes we stop and we don't get what we ask for, right? He says, ask, keep on asking, seek, keep on seeking, knock, and keep on knocking, and you will see the door open.
Right?
Right?
Right.
Praise the Lord. Is that true?
Yes, it is.
It was true in Jesus' day. Is it still true?
Yes.
Is it faded away? Has it got weaker? It says the latter end of a thing ought to be greater than the early end, Scott. That's right. You was a healthy young man when you come to the Lord, weren't you? In Jesus' name, you'll be healthy again. You are healthy in Jesus' name. Not picking on you, brother. I want you to live that life that God's promised. What's it say? He has come to give life and life more abundantly. Think of things in your life that don't seem abundant right now. Say, have I been ripped off? Can you relate to that? Have I been ripped off? Sometimes God's will is not. Okay, I agree. God's got a will.
Yeah.
Praise God. We never would have seen your bride go home. No, no. We called out. We cried out.
Well, she's living that abundant life.
But she's living the abundant life. Exactly. But sometimes we can't see beyond that, you know. See, Loretta's here. Where are you at?
There. Over there.
It's like God decided to raise Russell from the dead because Russell was not a believer. Russell had hatred to his dad. Russell was a mess. I loved the man, but he was a mess. He was a bitter man. Never went to church. And God raised him from the dead so he could have eternal life. I never could get him to tell me what happened in that time when he was gone. He said, I can't talk about it. I can't talk about it. But he never, ever missed church after that unless there was just something dire going on. So, see, that's abundant life for your husband, man, Russell. It's abundant life for Russell. It's abundant life for Melissa. Sometimes timing, we're not in charge of timing, right? That's why we get tired of waiting sometimes because we like things right. I like things right now. Does anybody not like things right now? Okay, and I wrote down a few things here, and I said, when you know that God is good, when you know, I mean completely no doubt whatsoever that God is good.
Yep.
If you got that, you got it by the horns.
That's true.
When you know God is good, you know that his laws are good, and for your good.
Yes.
When people say, oh, he just don't. You've heard this. You've said this one maybe. Oh, God just don't want us to have fun. Why would God make a man and a woman and make all that and then tell them not to do it? Because he loves you, man.
Yep.
He loves you, man. He made it one time. He made it between a man and a woman. He made it. You become one flesh. You stay one flesh. Hey, if you've blown it, repent. There's no conviction, no condemnation on you. If you've blown it, repent. But his law was good. His law is good. It hasn't changed.
Amen.
The law of the Lord, this is Psalm 19:7, if you want to write it down. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So when you know that God is good, you know that His laws are good. Amen?
That's right.
Are His laws good?
Yep.
Did He throw His laws away when Jesus came? Did He say, I throw them all away. They don't exist anymore. Did He say that? He said, I didn't come to change the law or kill the law. I came to fulfill the law. Amen?
Yep.
So through Jesus, we can live righteous. Amen? Amen. We're going to blow it. Nobody's perfect but Jesus. But He has given us a way to live righteously.
Yep.
That's why people get so hacked when you live righteous. They're looking in a mirror going, you're a goody two-shoes, you're holier than thou. No, they're really going, wow, how do you do that? How do you do that? Because they can't understand. They think you've got some superpower to be good. And you know you don't, Chuck. I know I don't. Some of y'all might have a superpower to be good, but I can't do it without Jesus, man. He is the only way that I can walk in any kind of righteousness. When you know God is good, you know that His judgments are good and for your good. Tell me, throw me out a couple of Old Testament judgments. Judgments on man, judgments on the planet.
Pharaoh,
yes. Sodom and Gomorrah, what else? Korah, rebellion. How about the flood? Israel, yeah, come back to God, repent, cry and repent, and then prosper. And then as they prosper, they fall away from God. You can kind of see that in even our nation, can't you?
Yes,
but praise God, we got revival coming. We got revival coming.
Yes.
Keep speaking it. Keep believing it.
Yes.
Keep walking in it. We're going to see a move of God in this nation.
Yep.
We're going to see a move of God in this church. We're going to see a move of God in this, quickly. It's got to happen quickly. There we are, setting time on it again. But I'll take it now. But I was thinking of the judgment. Can you imagine? I don't know how many people. It doesn't say how many people were alive when the flood came. But I'd say there was a lot. How many of y'all ever been to the Ark up in Kentucky? Man, you know what? You ought to do yourself a favor and blow some money and go. It's not blowing money. It's kind of pricey, but I tell you what. You go on a day when you can find out there's not going to be a bunch of people there, and you will spend all day just gleaning on. It's amazing. You might not agree completely with everything they say, but really, it's coming into agreement with your mind working against. Your mind don't want to receive it. But anyway, you should check that out. But just think, God sent a flood and it killed everybody on the planet. Except what, 8 people? Killed everybody on the planet. Now how could that be for good? Because a lot of people believe, in fact, I think they teach that up at the Ark. But they believe that the whole human race had become mixed with demonic spirits and powers and the things that caused giants. And they were no longer pure anymore. And Noah and his family were the only ones that weren't polluted by this. Their gene pool was still human. And so he had to do that, because if he didn't, there'd be nobody left of his creation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy, but if you think about it, it makes total sense. Psalm 19:9-11, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Say, in keeping them there's great reward. Say, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous. They're more to be desired than gold, much fine gold, sweeter than honey, and the honeycomb. So his judgments are sweet and pure. So when you know God is good, you know that his judgments are good also. When you know God is good, you know his promises are good and for your good. All his promises. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen to the glory of God through us. That's 2 Corinthians 1:20. Say, all God's promises are yes and amen. What's that mean? What's that mean to you, Sarah? Just off the top of your head, what's that mean? Personal. Personal. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Anybody else? Make it personal. God's promise to you. He's given you individual promises, hasn't he? Bible promises, but he's also given you promises. Hadn't he? Anybody want to share one? Yes. God gave her a promise how many years ago? 30?
I've been praying for him.
More? So 30 or 40 years, God gave you a promise 30 or 40 years ago that you're one day you would have your husband sat next to you in church and worship the Lord. How long did you wait? Did you ever give up? Did you ever think about giving up? Did it ever depress you when it didn't happen? Come on, be honest. Yeah. When you lost your daughter. And praise God, there she received, I don't know that she had this promise, but her daughter came in to the kingdom one day, and then she wanted to get water baptized, and she almost, I don't know if she was having some kind of heart. At the time, we didn't know it, but she got faint and weak, and we took her out of the water, and I think we went to the call DC, the men did, and I got a call on the way home that Sunday morning that she had passed away. She got 1 or 2 weeks, 2 weeks to live for the Lord, and she was gone. She was gone. She got baptized what? On her birthday, and she was gone in 2 weeks. Well, that's horrible. That's not fair. No, man, she's in glory. You don't get it. She's in glory. We miss them. So you got two supernatural. I led my Aunt Hazel to the Lord on her deathbed. On her deathbed. And been preaching to her for years. She didn't want to hear it. I'm not going to go into details, but on her deathbed. Anybody ever ask me, do I believe in deathbed conversions? Yes. 100% I believe in them. Amen. Well, that ain't fair. Well, you sound like the ones that say, well, we work for 12 hours out in the hot sun. This other person only worked for an hour. What's the deal? They should go to hell. Yeah. Think about the thief on the cross.
Yeah.
He didn't even get baptized. Oh, got to be water baptized. They had a tub down at the bottom. They let him down for a few minutes. He got baptized, and he put him back up there. Just teasing. It's good. Baptism is good. Baptism is a commandment, but baptism does not save.
That's right.
Because I run into people all the time. Well, I got baptized when I was 3 years old. I say, well, you got wet.
Yep.
What else happened? You know. That's right. Mike, you might last a little longer. I'm sorry. When you know God is good, say, when you know God is good, you know his servants are good. His true servants are good. Is that true? Does his servants ever get on your nerves? Does his servants ever do things the way you don't do it or wouldn't want to do it? Yeah. We're people. We got problems. We got attitudes. Romans 10:15, how will they preach unless they are sent? as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So your feet are blessed. Your feet are beautiful if you preach the gospel. Beautiful. Praise God, I got some of the ugliest feet on the planet, but God says they are beautiful because I get to preach the word of God. The Spirit, listen, this is Luke 4. This is when Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 61, I think. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, Scott, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then Jesus closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. They knew, didn't they? In their spirits they knew. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So when you prayed this prayer and you said, you repented, hopefully you repented. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I need the blood of Jesus to cover me. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. And you might have said something like this. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me. I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you rose from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. And if you ask him that with faith, that's exactly what happened. The Holy Spirit came in you. You believe that?
Yes.
So, when that happened, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord came upon you and within you. Do you believe that? You didn't become Jesus. But he became you. Does that make sense? Kind of. Because we haven't attained, right? So if y'all don't think this is blasphemous, and I don't think at all it is, say the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Ooh, that kind of puts some pressure on, don't it? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord God Almighty is upon me.
Yep.
Say it again like you mean it.
The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me.
Yes. Because he has anointed me. Say it.
Me.
Say it with passion.
He has anointed me.
To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted.
To proclaim liberty to the captives.
Like your grandson, Teresa. The captives. The captives. They used to be captives in jail. Now they're captives in drugs and alcohol and pornography and outrageous things that have taken over. But he has sent us to proclaim liberty, freedom to these captives. And recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Say, recovery of sight to the blind. That means that when you have an opportunity, lay hands on somebody that's blind, do it.
Yep.
But what if it don't happen? What if it does?
That's right. That's right.
How many of y'all ever heard a missionary speak? I know y'all have. I would say Dave Hogan's a missionary. I would say, how many of y'all have ever heard stories? How many of y'all was back in the day, back in the traditional church? How many would come out of the traditional church? Church is morphing. Church is changing. That don't mean it was wrong then, but do you remember the only time you ever heard anything supernatural, it came from a missionary? Do you remember that?
Yep.
Yep. I'm not saying we didn't ever get our prayers answered, but really supernatural, crazy, weird stuff. I've talked to them later on, you know, in the years later, and they said, we couldn't share with y'all We couldn't tell y'all about casting out demons. We couldn't tell y'all about this and that because y'all would have been freaked out and never asked me back again. You wouldn't have supported me. Supernatural. Say, it's supernatural. That's right. Say, in recovery of the sight to the blind. Say, I will lay hands on people that are blind. Amen. And they will recover their sight. Scott, be expecting 100%, brother. Amen. We speak to your pancreas and tell you to shut up and produce insulin in the proper amount in Jesus' name. You're trespassing on holy ground in Jesus' name. Say, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So if you believe all that, that's all within you. The Spirit of God, the power of God, the presence of God, all His gifts are upon you and within you. But you got to know who you are, don't you? Say, I know God is good. I know His true servants are good too. I'm almost done. Here's a good one. Oh, you've heard that one before. That's the biggest lie ever spoken from the pulpit. I'm almost done. Let me clarify that. You made that right. Well, maybe, oh gosh, I can't count words, but. Okay, when you know God is good, listen to this one. Say, when I know God is good, I know my destiny is good. Jeremiah 29:11, I know y'all know this by heart, most of you, but I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Say that. Thoughts of peace. That's what God thinks for you right now. Thoughts of peace. Say, and not of evil. To give me a future and a hope. Who laughed? Did you laugh? I heard you laugh. Who got hope? That was joy. Did somebody get hope back there? Yeah, that's okay. I like laughter. You can laugh all you want. Laugh, laugh, laugh. There you go. Romans 8:26. Never mind, I won't apologize for that. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Say, the Spirit helps me in my weakness. Isn't that good? If He helped Paul, how much more do we need a little help? For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Is that true? But the Spirit Himself, the Holy Spirit Himself, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And you know, I've heard it taught that this is tongues, but I don't think it's necessarily true. Sometimes I think it's just like, God, I can't do it. You know, it's just a groaning. Comes up in you when you're desperate and when you can't do anything and everything's broke. I think it's just like, I don't know what to pray. I'm just going to be before you, on my face before you. Amen? Amen. Now, He who searches the hearts, who's that? Holy Spirit searches the hearts and knows what the mind of the Spirit is because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You got somebody praying for you that's on the throne of God before the Father. You got somebody praying for you that always gets their prayer answered. Amen. Did Jesus never get it? Was there a time when He never got His prayer answered? Can you think of one time when He didn't get His prayer answered? The only one I can think, he didn't even come close, but He said, Lord, please, If I don't have to go through this mess, if I don't have to go to the cross, please, Lord. He said, nevertheless, not my will. Boy, we got to learn to lay that will down, man. We got to learn to lay it down. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew. In other words, He knew you before you was in your mama's womb. He's known you from eternity past. How could that be? Shut up, He's God. He created everything in 6 days. Don't even think there's nothing He can't do. You know, I read it, and I know I'm going off a little bit, but sometimes in food pantry, people will go, well, it's just a little problem, and God's so busy with big things. I'm like, really? You don't really believe that, do you? God is too busy to hear my prayer. There's nothing He don't care about. Man, lay it all out before Him. For those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. Whom He justified, these He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God is for me, I put my name in there. Say if God, and put your name. If God is for Mark, say your name. Who can be against me? Think about that just a second. If God is for me, who or what can be against me? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Who can bring a charge against God's elect? Believers. Yeah, when He says constantly stand before the throne accusing the brethren, I believe it's other believers because Satan's got no right to do that. Satan's got no right to have an audience at the throne to accuse you. So we got to be careful. We got to love each other and say kind words about each other. And that's how splits happen. That's how destruction happens. When we can't keep our mouth shut. Thank you. That was a good sound effect. I like that thing, man. That's cool. Who will bring us a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is He who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Say, I know God is good. I know my destiny is good. Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you know you're going to see your destiny? Now, you can walk out of your destiny. Don't get me wrong. God gives, how many of y'all have had prophetic words spoken over you that it witnessed in your spirit? Sometimes it's just somebody talking, okay? I'm sorry, but sometimes it's like it don't witness with me. But sometimes when somebody gives me a prophetic word, it's something I already felt. It was something that was already stirring in me, and it was confirmation. If you ever had one and you knew that you knew that you knew that this person had heard, well, the Holy Spirit just spoke to you. Praise God. And I'm not talking about, yeah, I got them on the shelf. No, how many? Are you still asking for these things to be performed? Because that's what happens. We'll just put it on the shelf. And, you know, if God wants to do it, God will do it. God will do it in His time. I don't have to ask. Keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. You got to keep asking. He loves hunger. Amen? He loves hunger.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
When you get lazy, God doesn't like laziness. God was never lazy. Jesus, when He wasn't working and praying the kingdom, He was on His knees praying somewhere. He was always about His Father's business, wasn't He?
Yeah.
And I got a revelation that y'all got, I'm sure, but we do not have to, my opinion. I don't believe you got to get on your knees and pray for hours and hours and hours for God to do something.
No.
I don't. I believe you can rah, settle it, and God will do what He promised you'll do. When He gives you the unction to pray, pray.
Yep.
But don't have this big chain and ball around your neck that says, I'm not praying enough. I didn't fast enough. It's all biblical. But you can't pray enough to please God. Listen to Him.
Jesus said it one time, that was it.
Jesus said it? What was it? The Bible says it. I believe it, and that settles it. No, your belief has nothing to do with it. Jesus said it.
Yep.
That settles it.
Yep.
So, I believe God will do amazing, miraculous things here today if you need a touch from the Lord. If you don't know Him, if you had a little experience when you were a child, hey, praise God for children that are so open to the things of God. But there comes a point in your life where you go deeper with that. So if anybody needs to go deeper with Jesus, you need to give your life to Him the first time, come on up. But if you just need prayer for anything, if you need a miracle, if you're sick, if you know somebody that's sick, if you know somebody that's bound, come up and get prayer. Please come up and get prayer. God wants to touch you. God wants to give you a victory. God wants your destiny. If your destiny's like, woo, if you don't know what your destiny is, come on up and ask Him. He probably won't give you a workbook telling you this, chick, 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 chick. This is your destiny, because we walk by faith.
Yep.
He lights up what? He is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. That means He puts it, as you take a step, light, 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 light. So you got to take a step towards the darkness to get the light. So come on up if you need prayer in Jesus' name. Y'all stand up. Say, I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice because He has made me glad. Want to come up and sing that, Scott? That's a whole youth group song. Yay! Yay! You know you're getting old when you got a youth group guy that's a lot older than you were when you worked with youth. Praise God. Anybody want prayer? Lord God, bless them. Bless them this week. Bless them going out. Bless them coming in. Bless them at work. Bless them with the harvest. Bless them with souls. God, we come against the spirit of poverty and lack in Jesus' name, God. And I speak abundance in the name of Jesus, because You are an abundant God. And You said, I will never see my children go without bread. So, Lord, that's a promise. We stand on that in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Lord, bless our nation.
Yes, Lord.
Bless our nation. Bless us with a revival.
Yes,